God, please let me win the $500 million lottery. If I win, I'll pay off the church debts, start some orphanages, tithe to my church, I'll give money to the poor, and I'll buy a new house. I've always wanted a house in Florida. And one in Montana, too, on a mountain, with some really cool snowmobiles and maybe a huge Jeep and a Hummer. And for my Florida home, well, I'll get a Lamborghini and a Ferrari. I've always wanted a Ferrari. And the home will be on the ocean. And, you know, I should probably also buy an island. Maybe one out by the Cayman Islands. Man, I'm going to have to cut back on how much I give to the church. I mean, God doesn't want the church solely to depend on just my income. And if I give all that money to the church, then others may not tithe. And then they'll miss out on the blessing. And this is how deception works. The Faith Up Slayer. Hey, today, right off the top, let me just tell you, this has been a crazy couple weeks. People are losing their minds. I mean, today we're talking about deception. I usually give a big, long intro. We talk about the conference, May 21st, 22nd. Yep, we will. And if you want to register, go to tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. It's going to be awesome. But I just want to jump into today's topic right away because, once again, in the last couple days, a complete idiot who calls himself a Christian and is or was, I don't know, I'll let you decide, all of a sudden decided that he's going to leave his wife for another woman because this is God's plan for his life, and they're going to start a ministry, and he's kicked his wife out of their house. He comes home and announces this, and then just a few days later kicks her out so that his new girlfriend can live with them and they can start their ministry. I mean, it's so absolutely insane. And when you try to talk to this guy, he is so blind and so deceived. It's disgusting. It really is. I mean, I'll be honest with you. As a man, part of me wants to go over there and, shall we say, lay hands on him. But you know what? It's only going to change through prayer. But that's what sparked today's topic. Are you deceived? Are you deceived? And here's the thing. The worst part about being deceived is you don't know you're deceived until it's too late. So I'm going to give you 10 things to think about regarding where you're at and whether or not you're deceived. Maybe you're not in complete and full deception, but maybe you see these starting to sneak into your life and it'll be a good wake-up call. So let's jump into it. Number one, has anyone ever warned you about behavior that does not line up with Scripture? Look, there are 1,000 examples. We could talk about homosexuality. We could talk about porn. We could talk about our attitudes towards the poor. It goes on and on. But has anyone ever warned you about behavior in your life that does not line up with Scripture and you kind of poo-poo them? You kind of blow them off like, well, they don't really understand. And it's a little different in my case. If so, you're on your way to deception. Number two, have you knowingly excused your behavior regardless of what Scripture says? Going along with point number one, do you see things in other people's lives which are glaringly wrong, but for some reason in your life, it's okay because, well, again, the way things worked out and God knows my heart and you go by your intentions rather than your actions, you are on your way to deception. Number three, now this is going to punch you in the face, but let's get to it. Are you having sex with someone other than your spouse? And you go, what does that have to do with deception? Easy. Look, if you're getting off on some other woman, there's a chemical cocktail that is taking place. Your brain is on this powerful numbing and dumbing tool used by Satan. You're on oxytocin, phenethylamine, serotonin dump, HMC, epinephrine, testosterone. It goes on and on and on, and this creates such a powerful drug on your system that you're so high, and again, like in the case of this guy I'm talking about, he thinks he's closer to God than he's ever been. He's not. It's just a sexual high that his brain has created through this cocktail. And so if you're having sex with someone other than your spouse, guess what? You don't even know you're deceived. You can't tell you're deceived. It's like telling someone who's drunk they're drunk. They won't listen to you. When have you ever gone up to someone and said, hey, man, you're drunk? And they go, I am? Oh, okay, thanks. I'll take a taxi. No. They don't know they're drunk. Why? Because they're drunk. Sometimes people don't know they're deceived. Why? Because they're drunk. They're drunk on the emotional chemical cocktail of having sex with some other person. Number four, are you blaming your current situation or sin on your spouse or your boss or your parents? You can almost guarantee if you're blaming someone else, it's you that's in deception. You're just looking for someone to blame to excuse your deception. Next, are you describing events as if they were too powerful or God-ordained to fight against? You know, whenever you talk to this guy, it's like, well, this is just meant to be. The planets lined up, the moon and the stars, and there was this glow, and there was this voice from heaven. Oh! And look, if you're describing things as if you had no say in the matter, it just had to be. You are deceived. You have a choice. You have a right to choose right or wrong. You can choose right or wrong. And don't use some phantom power, overwhelming experience, some God thing. Don't use that. You are in deception. You are deceived. Next, when asked questions, do you typically defend your opinion and or ask questions back? See, that's the problem with this guy. You ask him, look, you think what you're doing is actually right? You think it's God ordained? How do you get around the verse about thou shalt not commit adultery? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been, look, don't ask me a question. Answer mine. Don't give me your opinion. Answer mine. Don't excuse or debate. Just simply answer the question. Is adultery wrong? Well, here's the deal. No! Just answer the question. Look, if you can't answer the question, yes or no, you're deceived and you're trying to cover it up. Next, is your speech filled with weak and vague explanations, clouded in like obscure lingo and ideas? See, the great thing about God's word is it is comforting, and it is direct, and it is specific. And the hard thing about God's word is it is cloudy, and it is nebulous, and it is kind of nuanced, and you can use it however you want. And if someone asks you a question or talks to you about a situation, and you begin to give them these weak and vague explanations, and maybe you cloud obscure, you know, scriptures, well, God is love, and you know, God accepts everybody. And, you know, look, you are just covering up your deception. Don't play the game. Just answer the question. Just be direct. You know, if someone does have an affair, it would be refreshing just to hear them say, yeah, you know what? I was getting my whistle wet from somebody else, and it's more fun than with my wife. She's overweight. She's not as good looking anymore. And this woman kind of turns me on. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave my wife and go with her. Is it a sin? Yeah, it's a sin. I'm doing it anyway. Well, at least that's refreshing, you know? At least you're being honest. Don't be vague. Don't be so obscure that people are like, do you know what I just asked you? The last few. Do you lack detail in your circumstances when asked by others about it? Like if I ask this guy about why he's leaving this woman, why he's leaving his wife for this other woman, he gives you very kind of obscure explanations. And like when he goes to another church, someone's going to say, hey, where's your wife, Bobby Sue? And he's going to say, unfortunately didn't work out. And, you know, she had her own life and I had my own, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to lack detail. It's going to be the same circumstances you could paint over anything. Hey, where's your dog? Well, you know, it just didn't work out. And he had a different, you know, mindset. And hey, did you go grocery shopping? Well, yeah, it didn't work out. The grocer had a different mindset than I had. Just come on. Deal with it. Next, do you blame God or your circumstances for your actions and decisions? Remember, there's very little you can blame God for. In fact, I would say there's really nothing you can blame God for except for in the positive sense. I blame you for forgiving my sins and making a way right, you know, for me to, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Don't blame God. If you're blaming God, if you live a life of where you're always blaming God, you're deceived. You are deceived. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. Quit walking in deception. And finally, is what you are doing clearly stated as is what you are doing clearly stated as godly in Scripture. Look, God's Word has a lot to say, and it's also absent on a lot of things. And we many times assume things are okay or not okay based on His silence on the issues. However, if you know what you are doing is clearly wrong in Scripture, you are deceived by your own intentions. So what do I mean by that? You might go, well, you know, it's not really clear in Scripture, this one circumstance, because mine is really unique and different. Look, you are defining where you're at by your intentions, and your intentions lead you to sin. Is there Scripture that says that what you are doing is right? You know, we started out with, is there a Scripture that says what you're doing is wrong? It's just as important to find out, is there a Scripture that points out what you're doing is right? If not, you may very well be deceived. This is Garth Heckman at the David Lyons. Thanks for checking the podcast out, rating the podcast, sharing the podcast. And until tomorrow, keep slaying giants.